Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and my partner and good friend in this program is David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. And we want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you have any questions or comments about our radio program today, we encourage you to call in at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And we want to encourage you also to remember that this program is also being live-streamed on. You can go to www.harrisonmoore.org, and you can listen to us live on the Internet, or also you can go back and listen to archived programs that we have here, programs in times past. Now, remember that our motto is, and has always been, and will continue to be, we have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Last week, we began by talking about God's standard. You know, man has an idea of what they want to believe and how they want to follow various things, but we've got to realize that God's standard is always to be what we are to abide by. You remember in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there Solomon says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And then the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Now we bring these issues up about God's standard because there is a lot of people in our world today who are following paths that are just so contrary to what the Scriptures teach. For example, here recently in Stephenville, Texas, there came up a situation at Walmart that caused quite a turmoil in the city of Stephenville and surrounding areas. In the newspaper on July the 18th, it says that there was a company policy had been reportedly created that caused a stink at Walmart in Stephenville. The issue centered on the restroom rights of one employee, a so-called pre-op transsexual, who, despite having male genitalia, identified himself as a woman. And the Walmart anti-discrimination policy allowed this employee then to have the right to use the women's bathroom. And this whole controversy began with the employee's request to be called Michelle. The name change was honored by the local store manager years ago, but some of her co-workers refused to call her or him by that name. He says, "I really got tired of people calling me sir when my name tag said Michelle for more than 2 years." Now here, David, what we find here is an attitude of people in the world who are abiding by a person's wishes, and the wishes of this person are clearly contrary to God's law. Here is a man who is dressing like a woman and feels it's okay. And there are a lot of people, even upper management in Walmart, evidently, who are also okay with this man dressing as a woman. But when we look in the Scriptures, David, we find out that God has a much different view of this scenario. Is that right?
No doubt about it. And as you so correctly pointed out with Scripture, that our ways are not God's ways. And until we get our ways back to the ways that God's ways are, we're going to be in trouble as a nation. And what we're talking about here, and let's not lose focus, folks, of what we're talking about. We're talking about God's standards and the progression of sin. Now, one of the places that we can go to show that this is a totally unapproved issue here, this cross-dressing, this transsexualism, we can look at Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5, and this is part of the law of Moses. There's no doubt about it. But the principle of righteousness that goes right along with this is still applicable today. And here is what he says: the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now this. The reason this is in here is because of confusion and deception.
Exactly.
And this is just exactly what is going on there when a man wants to claim that he's a woman so that he can go to the woman's bathroom for whatever reason I'm not very clear on. But regardless of what it is, this is part of the progression of sin. It will not stop here.
Exactly. You know, at the top of this list that they're talking about here in this relationship with this man in the bathroom and all that, they say they want to have respect for the individual. And it says that our policies are in place to prevent discrimination or harassment.
Now, that's Walmart's policy.
That's what Walmart says. And the question that I have that we raised up last week, David, are not others being discriminated against because of this one person? Are they not allowing the rights, the so-called rights of the one person, to violate the rights of the many at Walmart?
Well, in my opinion, what they have done is made a hostile working environment for every woman that works in Walmart.
Exactly.
And not only that, when did it become a man's right to go around dressing up as a woman? What makes that a right of anybody?
It's not a right. It's just a confused mind where they think that they're a woman, where in reality they're a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just all in one's mind. You know, in the very beginning of time, Genesis chapter 1 talks about a man and a woman. And we can tell, everybody knows the difference between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And for there to be a confusion, they had to have gotten that confusion from somewhere else. It's not something you're born with. It's a confusion that somebody has taught you, that you've come up with. This poor fellow here is just simply confused, and we need to always get back to the Bible.
Right.
On all these issues. God's word is right. Man's words, his thoughts, can never compare. You know, Isaiah 55. Verses 6 and 7 talks about how God's ways are higher than man's ways, and his mm-hmm. thoughts and their thoughts. And so we've got to get back to what God has to say about this issue. And if you have some thoughts that are contrary to God's law, then you need to get rid of those thoughts and get back to the way God says things ought to be.
There's no doubt about that. Here is what we're referring to is, he's claiming he is a woman trapped in a man's body. Is he making reference to the biological sex of the person or the preferred gender of a person? Now, either way, what you're dealing with here is temperance, Tom. Temperance is one of the Christian graces that we have over in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verses 5 and going all the way through verse 10. Temperance is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we have in Galatians chapter 5, beginning there in verse number 21. The fruits of the Spirit, the Christian graces, we're talking about temperance, we're talking about self-control. We may have an inclination to do something, but we're talking about God's standard. Let's put our inclination up against God's standard. If our inclination is not according to God's standard, we need to have the temperance and the self-control to throw it out.
Exactly. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 254 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And also you can email us at dspoppy@yahoo.com. That's dspoppy@yahoo.com. Now, the whole issue, David, really revolves around whether or not we're going to abide by God's standard or man's standard.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding out here is that men are allowing the standards of the world and sometimes the idea of one person to override what that which is good and decent. And we have a case in point with Walmart allowing this man who claims that he wants to be a woman to go into the woman's bathroom and use the facilities. Well, David, if my wife were in that Walmart, I don't even know I would allow my wife to go to that Walmart if I knew there was a chance that a man would be in the women's bathroom.
Well, it doesn't seem even like a logical argument to make, but I can understand Walmart's stance here. In some way, it's all about money. They don't want to be sued.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we learned last week also that it is against the law for a man to go in a woman's bathroom in the state of Texas. Now, the law of Texas will override policy, but the law of God will even override the laws of Texas. So when we look at God's standard, we've got to understand that when we get away from the standard, we're going to be involved in the progression of sin. We talked about that progression of sin last week. We talked about the progression of sin as it started from the very beginning right there in Genesis chapter 3, where Eve saw and then she desired and then she took. We talked about all the different scenarios. It's always been he saw, he got the idea in his mind, he had an evil desire, and then he acted on the evil desire. This is the progression of sin. This will not stop. This transsexual thing doesn't stop there. It continues in progression until it's full-blown homosexuality.
Now, you know, the Bible also says, David, in James chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
beginning in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempteth no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then lust, when it hath conceived, beareth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, bringeth death." That's the progression of sin. We begin to allow certain little things to come into our minds. We allow this lust to begin to delve into our minds. We then are enticed by it. We become committed to it. And that's what you see happening around our world today, David.
Right.
Just look how sin has progressed since, say, the 40s and 50s to what we have nowadays in regard to what they consider to be moral in the 40s and 50s, considering what now we consider to be moral. Or even the dress of the 40s and 50s compared to the dress now, we see that sin is gradually progressing to a very horrible end.
Well, and we've become so calloused about this that we don't even blush when we have when it comes to moral issues, there's no blushing. And this goes back even to the writings of Jeremiah 600 years before Christ, when God asked him, he said, were they at all ashamed? No, they were not at all ashamed, and neither could they blush over their behavior that they had. And we've got the same problem here in 2012. And it's been progressively getting worse and worse and worse. Now, this progression of sin, and for those of you who are listening, by the way, this is a live call-in talk show. You want to get in on the discussion, 254-445-2473 is the number to call. We'd love to have your input or your questions or your comments. We will address them with biblical scripture if you'll just give us the question. But two or three weeks ago, we talked about this endorsement of gay marriages by the President of this United States of America. He endorsed gay marriages and said they were just as wholesome as normal marriages that God ordains. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is who is a man like Obama to come up with a thought that would even be comparable to something that God has put together. Now, just because he has done this, we have people that have been that have emboldened themselves, and we have endorsements by Starbucks to same-sex marriage, and Target to same-sex marriage, to Penny's same-sex marriage. We got Home Depot, and all of these the DC Comics have now come up with a homosexual couple on a comic book for young people, and all of this when we get a leader. I don't care where the leader is or who the leader is, and I don't care how evil he is. When we get a leader of a country who will endorse something, it doesn't seem to make any difference how bad it is. There will be about 50% of the population follow the evil leader.
Exactly. You know, that, David, that reminds me then of what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 13. It says, "But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And that's exactly what we're finding going on in our world today. And then, David, if that's not bad enough, people deceiving people to get worse and worse and involved in sin, when somebody does stand up for what is right and states a very moral biblical principle like Chick-fil-A does, mm-hmm. well, they encounter all kinds of wrath
from
the world. And all they were doing is simply stating a biblical fact that's always been true. God says man and woman is the only authorized marriage according to God's sight.
Well, see, I do believe also, Benj, you mentioned this Chick-fil-A, I do believe also that what we have here in this Chick-fil-A issue is some trickle-down effect of the endorsement that our President of the United States made not too long ago. Right here and I just pulled this off of the news just right before we came. It says, and let me just read this short paragraph here. It said, after Chick-fil-A President Dan Cathy expressed his opinion and support for the biblical definition of marriage, gay rights organizations immediately went on the attack, suggesting that the fast food giant discriminates against gays and lesbians, even though no legitimate evidence can prove the allegation. But it didn't end there. Soon after, elected officials in Boston and Chicago soon piled on. Mayor Thomas Menino told the Boston Herald he would not allow the $4 billion a year business to open in his city. And Rahm Emanuel, who used to be Obama's right-hand man, the mayor of Chicago, said of his efforts to block of the food chain, Chick-fil-A's values are not Chicago's values. They're not respectful of our residents, our neighbors, and our family. It should be noted that the Windy City is famous for its wide assortments of sex shops and strip clubs, which gets us back into the progression of sin. We've got the leader of our country endorsing gay marriage, and now we've got a mayor of one city and a mayor of another city saying that now people with Christian values, they're not welcome here because they dare to state their Christian values in public.
Exactly. You know, let us remind you that we're not just telling you our opinions on this gay marriage and homosexual thing. I want to remind you of a passage in Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions, for their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due." Here, God clearly condemns homosexuality. And so when we're looking at this issue of same-sex marriages that President Obama is now promoting, and when we have people like Target and DC Comics and others who are promoting this issue, what they're doing really in reality, David, is putting their nose up to God.
Yes.
God says it's wrong. And they're saying it's right.
I thought it was interesting that Rahm Emanuel would say the Chick-fil-A values, which the values that they are stating are God's values, the Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values.
Right.
And we look again at the progression of sin. The sin is so widespread in this area of immorality that mayors and people in prominent positions in government and politics are endorsing things that are absolutely and totally opposed to God's will. This is a progression of sin, and this is what we've been talking about. Getting away from God's standards, There is no limit once you leave the standard.
Exactly. When you start leaving that standard, things keep progressing. Is there going to come a time, David, where we have to have some kind of a stamp on our hand or forehead saying that we are in favor of homosexual marriage before we can open a business or sell commodities anyway?
It is interesting that you bring this up, because in the book of Revelation, we have this very thing brought up. During the Roman Empire, that if you did not have the stamp that you were endorsing Nero or Domitian, one of the Roman rulers, you could not even sell your wares under the Roman Empire. You had no legal right to sell anything. So is this what we're coming to? This was brought to our attention today. This is a very good parallel that we see what's going on today and what was going on in the Roman Empire, which brings us to the next part of our discussion, how it is that the progression of sin, and we have some information here given to us by a fellow by the name of Carl Zimmerman, who in 1947, you mentioned how things had digressed since the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s as far as our immorality goes, or the immorality of the nation goes. He wrote a book called Family and Civilization, Tom. And in that book, he studies the decline not only of the Roman Empire, but of several civilizations and empires. And he discovered 8 patterns of domestic behavior that signaled the decline of a civilization. This is the progression of sin. Have you got those 8
there?
Yes,
they are as follows. Number 1, the breakdown of marriage and the rise of divorce. We see that very thing happening today, don't we?
No doubt.
Number 2, the loss of the traditional meaning of the marriage ceremony. Well, President Obama has already caused that to occur. There is a rise of feminism. Now, we're not talking about equal rights for women, but we're talking about the radical feminine agenda where they're supporting homosexuality. They're trying to take away the distinctions between male and female, trying to take away what God says about the husband being the head of the wife, things of that nature. Now, we're all for women having equal rights, being able to vote and things like that. But we're talking about radical feminism. Number 4, there was the increased public disrespect for parents and authority in general. And we see a big trouble with that. Our school systems, are they not, David,
yes,
having a great deal of trouble with authority, getting to where teachers are almost afraid sometimes to teach in their schools. Number 5, there was the acceleration of juvenile delinquency, promiscuity, and rebellion. Just look around, David. We see it every day in the newspaper and on the news, don't we?
It's hard to imagine that these things are dated pre-2000.
Exactly. Number 6, refusal of people with traditional marriages to accept their family responsibilities. Number 7, a growing desire for an acceptance of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've done that, David, by just changing the name of adultery to an affair.
No doubt.
Number 8, increasing interest in and the spread of sexual perversion, homosexuality, and sex-related crimes. Now, I have recently been put on a grand jury, David, and one of the lawyers told me that one of the biggest things that we're going to have to be confronting as grand jury members is sexual crimes. And that's pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we see happening in our world today. And all of these things that happened to many other civilizations in past that caused their downfall, We look around, David, and we see the very same things that are taking place in our day, and it ought to be great cause for alarm.
Right. Well, when we look at this demise and the decline of the Roman Empire, we can go back in history, and the secular history books will tell us that the Western Roman Empire fell to the Vandals in 455 A.D. and again in 476 when the Germanic tribes overran it. But Rome then was riddled with what they call boy love. In other words, we have grown men taking young men, boys, and making them their sexual gratification tools.
You see that happening today.
Well,
in the news recently.
No doubt. Jerry Sandusky was I believe indicted 45 counts of this very same thing. And this refers to that intimate relationship between the boy and an adult male outside of his family. And then we see homosexuality is condemned in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, you read about it in Romans chapter 1 just a moment ago. It is equally as condemned in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. And then Matthew made male and female relationships and told us in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6, that male and female relationships are the only sexual relationships that are allowed by Jesus. Now, that's God's standard. And I believe we had a caller call in last week, said Jesus never said a word about homosexuality. Oh, yes, he did. He gave us God's plan from the very beginning. It was male and female. He made them male and female.
You know, a lot of people have a misconception about Jesus, David. They say he's a God of love and he won't condemn error. But that's not a God of love, David. When the Bible clearly tells us that homosexuality is a sin, how could you claim a God to be a God of love if he does not abide by the Father's wishes, and if he does not warn us of evils that we are committing that could send us to hell?
Right.
David, that's a God of love that warns us about those things that are contrary to his will and tells us the things we need to be doing to be pleasing in the sight. That is a God of love.
No doubt. If you were never corrected by your own parents, if you were never corrected, you would never know the difference between right and wrong. You would fail to receive the love of your parents for not correcting you when you did wrong. Now, in all of this, this transsexuality, this same-sex marriage, the homosexuality, this is not the core issue, is it?
That's not.
I mean, when we started this program, we're talking about God's standards and the progression of sin. The real issue is this: when a nation turns its back on God. And when you turn your back on God, you will turn your back on God's standards. You cannot have one without the other. I know a lot of people say, oh, I got all this love in my heart, but I don't believe that God would want me to be unhappy in this situation. Well, you don't believe in God if you don't believe in his standards. You cannot have the Word without God, and you cannot have God without the Word.
Exactly. You know, David, if you study the Scriptures, you're going to understand that the sin of homosexuality is just as bad as promiscuity, as bad as fornication or prostitution, bestiality, or any sexual activity apart from the holy matrimony between man and a woman.
And that's God's way.
That's God's way. The thing, though, David, is very irritating to me, and it causes this homosexuality to be more problematic than adultery, is that the homosexuals are pushing for special privileges.
Right.
And privileges that violate the privilege of others. And, you know, if an adulterer were getting out there and saying, I need special rights because I cheat on my wife, well, you know, they don't have that going on. But we do have homosexuals pushing a special agenda where they're trying to get special privileges and then in turn violating the rights of others, just like Chicago is violating the rights of Chick-fil-A to have a business there. And, you know, and that's what really is irritating to me, and that's what, in my mind, separates homosexuality from other sexual sins that's going on in our world today.
Well, if you reversed what they're doing in Chicago, And you had the Chicago mayor say, you can't put a restaurant in here because your core belief is that adultery is okay. Oh, there would be all kinds of ruckus thrown up there.
Oh,
you see, what we have is a politically correct media that continues to attack, ridicule, and mock anybody that would stand up for what is right according to God. That is our problem here right now. Now, one of the things that you mentioned there just a moment ago, that if you look at your Bible, you're going to find out that homosexuality is just as bad as promiscuity, just as bad as sex outside of marriage in any way, form, or fashion. It's just as wrong because it's all fornication.
Exactly.
Now, this is hedonism, which places personal pleasure above any concept of right or wrong. And we're talking about right or wrong according to God's standard.
Exactly. You know, in homosexuality, like prostitution or bestiality, etc., is a destructive lifestyle. It always damages those who are caught up with it. And you know, Dave, when you look at this issue, homosexual men rarely have monogamous relationships. They greatly increase the risk of diseases from their unnatural acts. And it's just a very unwholesome. It's one thing for it to be contrary to God's law, which it clearly is. But it's very much proven that it is a very unwholesome act that brings on all kinds of venereal diseases. The AIDS epidemic is traced back to homosexuality, and it cannot be argued against because that's the case. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in, we encourage you, we challenge you to call in. If you think that we're saying things that's contrary to God's law or where we're wrong, we encourage you, we challenge you to call in and state your case. We want to be right. We want to do the right thing. We want you to call in. We're up against a break. Call in 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met.
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, I never knew you, depart from me. The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. Do you believe God's word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the word of God? The Park Hodge Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Hodge Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction. The path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, and a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher at the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ there in Hamilton, Texas. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in talk show. We would encourage you to call in and get in on the conversation. 254-445-2473 is the number to call. Let me give it to you again. 254-445-2473. Now, we have been talking, and we're trying to get through this issue that happened last week, but it seems like about every 3 weeks, and here lately it's been about every week, that the radical homosexual agenda is pushing something right over on the top of Christianity and God's standard. So Tom and I decided we would work on God's standard and look at the progression of sin. And what we have seen with a transsexual individual, what we have seen is the progression of sin just exactly the way that the Bible outlines it. And as you were finishing up just a moment ago, Tom, telling us about the homosexuality that is like prostitution, and that homosexual men rarely have a monogamous relationship. Now, there is a homosexual publication that printed the following statistics. This is not some man-made deal that just, you know, hates a bunch of homosexuals. This is a homosexual publication. And here is what they printed. 24%, Tom, 24% of homosexual men had more than 100 partners. Does that sound wholesome?
It does not.
Okay, 43% of homosexual men had more than 500 partners. This is from a homosexual publication. And then 28% of homosexual men had more than 1,000 partners. You see, when you deviate from God's standard, now these are just phenomenal numbers. I mean, just absolutely mind-altering numbers that we're looking at here. When you deviate from God's standard for marriage, there is no limit to where you can go. But when you leave God's standard, Tom, when you leave God's standard of marriage, when you leave God's standard of creation, when you leave God's standard of His plan of salvation, anytime you leave God's standard in any area of life, it will cause a progression of sin.
Exactly. And again, the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 rings true, how that evil men wax worse and worse. This, David, is the progression of sin. You know, David, we might also mention, while I have it on my mind, that there was a young lady, I guess she sounded like a young lady, that called in last week, named Morgan.
Right.
And she was trying to say that homosexuality is permissible and it's okay because you see it occurring in the animal kingdom. Well, in an effort to try to present homosexuality as normal, the homosexual movement has turned to science in an attempt, now I underscore, in an attempt to prove three major premises. Number one, they say homosexuality is a genetic or is innate. Number two, homosexuality is irreversible. And number three, they say since animals engage in same-sex sexual behavior, homosexuality is natural. Now
this is what Morgan was trying to prove to us,
yes,
that because the animal world engages in homosexual sex acts occasionally, that then that would prove that it is a natural thing for people to engage in homosexual activity as humans.
But what we find, David, before we get to another proof of that, is that you've seen dogs, a male dog maybe humping on another male dog, and they call that a homosexual act. But in reality, what that is, David, is showing dominance over another male, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with any kind of a sexual orientation whatsoever. And we see that happening in many of the many in the animal kingdom. But that beside the but that be that as it may, let's just say that their argument is true. If there is homosexual activity among the animal kingdom, then it's all right for men to be homosexuals or women to be homosexuals. If that's the case, what about the other acts of animals among the animal kingdom, David? There's some pretty strange activity that goes on in the animal kingdom, is there not?
No doubt. If seemingly homosexual acts among animals are in accordance with animal nature, then parental killing of offspring and intraspecies devouring are also in accordance with animal nature. Now, if you've got one, you've got another. Now, these are strange behaviors, to say the least. But does that mean that we are to conclude that killing your children and cannibalism are according to human nature?
Well, that's what their argument would be. It would have to be.
Sure, it would be.
So if homosexuality among animals makes it all right for men and women to have sex with in the same sex among human beings, and you look in the world and you see a tomcat devouring a little kitty cat, then that makes all right for a daddy to eat its own young in the human world?
Well, if you're going to use one example, you would only be consistent to use another example
exactly.
that is very similar. And that is a very similar example right there. Nature does things that human beings don't. But here's the big deal here. Nature and animals are not amenable to God's laws. You know, they have instincts. They are created. They do things that animals do. Humans have a soul and animals don't have a soul. And humans are amenable to all of God's laws. Every single one of us are amenable to God's laws, even though some may say God doesn't exist. It doesn't make any difference whether they believe it or not.
Animals have no conscience. Animals have no soul. That's what separates an animal from a man. And when, like you say, animals aren't amenable to God's law, human beings are. God says homosexuality is wrong. Man must abide by God's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to realize then, the whole core issue then, David, again, as was mentioned earlier, it's not necessarily homosexuality or cross-dressing. The core issue really is people turning away from God, doing things their own way as opposed to God's way. Again, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. The number to call is 254-445-2473. Now, surely there's someone out there who disagrees with us, and we encourage you to call because we would like to talk about this issue because it's a very prevalent issue. It's one that's affecting every single one of us. So the number to call is 254-445-2473.
Let's just talk for a moment about this progression of sin and God's standards as it is, as it pertains to evolution, Tom. Now, everybody knows that we have been forced by law in this United States of America because of a court ruling to teach evolution in our school systems. And so we teach that man evolved from a lower class animal, even all the way down to pond scum, until the intelligent human being that we have today. That is what we are being taught in school. We are not even given the opportunity to teach the other side of it, which is creation. We go back into Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and we read the creation. We see how God created the animals and the fishes and the birds, and we see all of these things that are created there in Genesis chapter 1. Then when we get to Genesis chapter 2, in verse number 7, we're told how God created man altogether differently from the way that he created all of the animals. All of the animals were created by fiat. God spoke and it happened. But when it came to man, in verse number 7, it says, God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that man became a living soul. And so the breath of God becomes the soul of man.
And so we see here, David, the progression of sin. God says he created all things. Man says, no, it happened by accident through evolutionary process. You begin to teach our children that they came from apes. And the process then is now our children are beginning to act like a bunch of apes. They begin to think that they can act like the animal kingdom. I was just thinking, David, dogs going around smelling each other's rear end. Are we going to start doing the same thing because the animal kingdom does it? Is that going to make homosexuality right? When we start teaching our kids they came from apes, they start acting like it, and they come up with all of these strange ideas. And, homosexuality is nothing but ape-likeish actions. It's contrary to God's law. It's just simply against God's law. But that's where sin leads.
Well, the progression of sin in the teaching of this evolution, at first you think, well, what's the big deal? So some people think that we come from apes and some people don't think that we come from apes. Some think that God had a hand in it some way or another, but they're not really sure how they did it. God's standard tells us exactly how he did it. We shouldn't have to wonder about that.
Exactly.
And yet very few people are ever even exposed to it, but they know all about evolution.
Exactly.
All about evolution. Now, Tom, not only are we now teaching evolution, but we are now teaching in many school districts that homosexuality and same-sex parents are okay, and they're normal. They are not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got all this confusion going on. So we teach our children that they come from pond scum. And then we've got our children confused about where they come from. And if they're confused about where they come from, here's the progression of the sin. If they're confused about where they come from, they're confused about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're confused about who they are, they're confused about their sexuality. And if they're confused about their sexuality, you have junior high kids asking a foolish question, am I homosexual? Especially if they are teaching in their classes that this is perfectly normal behavior.
Mm-hmm. Back in the year 2007, David, Barbara Walters on 2020 tried to come up with the idea of this cross-gender scenario, and they were interviewing her, and she was trying to prove that indeed a person can have the outward look of a male, but inwardly they are a female. But when you got to delving into that, what they realized was that was not shown on the TV program was that this mother had a boy, but she wanted a girl. And so from a very young age, this mother began to convince this little boy that he indeed was a girl. Well, why does that occur, David? People are all mixed up, and the mother was confusing this boy. Evolution confuses the situation. And again, that just shows you how sin progresses. It's a matter of getting away from God's law. When you get away from God's law, just things wax worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. And, you can take that and go right on in. And the irony of this sort of propaganda is that reporters like Barbara Walters will say that religion is wrong, because it's not supported by science. And yet when it comes to pushing a political agenda for all sorts of social and psychological aberrations like homosexuality and transgender conditions, true scientific evidence and empirical proof seem to be completely unnecessary. They don't want any kind of proof for that. No science to tell them what is right, what is wrong. But when it comes to something like transgender, you've got to have absolute scientific positive proof that religion is what it says it is, and according to them, they're just proving religion is wrong.
They really are hurting their argument, the evolutionists, by saying that homosexuality is also a part of the evolutionary process. Well, how is that going to occur, David? If you can't procreate, how are you going to ever be involved in the evolutionary process? It just shows you how profitless it is for this homosexual agenda even to be anywhere closely associated with evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows you how far away they get from logic and science. It doesn't matter if it's logical or not. It doesn't matter if it's scientific or not. What matters is what I want to believe, and we overlook everything else. That's how sin continues to progress in the lives of those round about.
True. And as we mentioned just a moment ago, when we're talking about this transsexual issue, are we referring to the biological sex of the person, or are we referring to the preferred gender? And the preferred gender is just what somebody wants. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we look at the progression of sin and what happens in sin when we get away from God's standard. And the standard of God is so, so very important. We can take this and go right into abortion with it. The leaving God's standard and looking at the progression of sin. Do you know, for years and years and years, Tom, the scientific evidence about abortion was suppressed to the general public. They talked about abortion as if it were some kind of birth control method. And they convinced many high schoolers back in the 70s that abortion was just another form of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was nothing to it. And they refused to give the scientific evidence out there to the general public because they were trying to promote abortion. And here we see the progression of sin. First of all, they say it's okay to have illicit sex. And during the 60s, if you will remember, this was a freedom of sex. It was a sex-free, a freedom of sex society that we lived in. The love generation. And by the way, a lot of these folks are up there representing us in politics today as grown-up individuals. So they go from illicit sex, and then they promote safe sex, and then they are promoting abortion mask as birth control. And this, again, is the progression of sin. Now, when we do this, we have a redefining of terminology.
Exactly. You know, they'll take that which is illicit and change the terms to make it not sound so bad. For in other words, instead of saying fornication, they'll say making love.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying adultery, they'll say having an affair. Instead of saying homosexuality, they say gay. They're trying to change the terms to make things seem not so bad as they really are. And isn't that what they said in Isaiah 5 and verse 20 that Israel was doing, calling that which is good evil and mm-hmm. evil good? Well, that's the progression of sin that takes place.
The horridness about this whole thing is they have taken infant murder and called it something like abortion.
Yes.
Infant murder. Now, if you were to go back in the 70s and try to encourage people to have a birth control and say, it's real simple, just murder the infant. But no, that's too harsh. So somebody might start asking questions about that. So we call it something like abortion. So here again, we have the progression of sin. And we can see it even in religion.
Instead of calling it a child,
mm-hmm.
a baby, they call it fetus or a mass of tissue.
Yeah, it takes the personality out of it.
Exactly.
That way.
And so that's the progression of sin. And that's what we see happening with homosexuality. We see it happening with abortion. It's constantly, well, men, again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 13, men are waxing worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to realize then this progression of sin is a very horrible and a very terrible situation that's going on in our world today, David. I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your first name and question or comment, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, my name is Samantha, and I really do not like the fact that y'all are gay bashing on the air because a lot of gays do listen to y'all, and it's very disrespectful because just because we're gay or anything doesn't mean that we're butting into y'all's lives. It's no one's business if we're gay or not.
Well, let me just correct one thing. You are butting into my life. And I'm not up here. Listen, Samantha.
Your household messing with anything.
What you fail to realize is that we are not gay bashing. All in the world we're doing is putting out God's standards out there. That's all. Just God's standards.
Okay, but if you're going to sit there and say something about God, God is going to judge me at his gate.
Okay.
It is God's judgment, not anybody else's.
Well, it is when you try to promote your radical homosexual agenda in our society.
Okay, but what's different from me versus you? Just because I like the same sex and you like the opposite sex doesn't mean that there's anything different.
Oh, yes, it does, because I'm going by God's standard and you're not.
Well, that doesn't matter anyways.
And sure it
as
does.
As long as I personally believe in God, he's going to judge me at Judgment Day. That's all that matters. It's not y'all's rights to sit there and bash us.
Well, we're not bashing anybody. We're just simply stating the facts of God's word.
I understand it, but to sit there and no matter what's going on, would you sit there and say anything about the people that have mental disabilities or anything else like that?
Well, mental disability is not transgressing God's law, but adultery.
What about a divorce?
Well, we think a divorce is wrong also, and we've talked about divorce. We'll talk about anything that's contrary to God's law. We're not bashing anybody. Matter of fact, we're trying to help. Listen to me now. Listen to me.
It does not say anything about a man and a man loving each other or a woman and a woman. Yes, it does in the Bible, but not in the Ten Commandments.
Yes, it does. Repeat that, please. Yes, it does in the Bible, but not what?
Not in the Ten Commandments.
Not in the Ten Commandments. Do you live under the Ten Commandments?
I try to, yes.
Well, you're living under the old law, the Old Testament, and you're rejecting the new law, the New Testament. And by the way, just hold on, Samantha.
That everybody, any test goes by.
Okay,
yes,
just hold on a minute.
Everything else, but
look, the Old Testament is absolutely full of information about homosexuality, and in the Old Testament, under that law, they were taken out and they were stoned to death. Now that's the law of the Old Testament. The New Testament says you're worthy of death. So which one do you want?
It doesn't matter. I don't want to be judged by just walking down the streets and being who I am.
Well, you're God being judged. You're being judged here by God's word. I'm just asking you, which one do you want? Do you want the old law, or the new law? By the way, you don't get a choice. You live under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus in the New Testament, and there it is condemned by the word of God what you do. Now, this is not me bashing gays. This is God's word saying that you've got to change your way, Samantha, or you can't go to heaven.
You know, and also the Bible says it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to murder. All of these things are contrary to God's law.
And it also says
and just because
it's
we condemn them does not mean we're bashing anybody. We're simply stating what the Bible has to say. And so, you know, we're doing this out of love because we care for mankind and we want them to do what God has to say. And that's the whole crux of what we're talking about on this show, trying to get people to understand what God wants of them and then try to encourage people to abide by God's law and not their own wants or thinks, but what God has to say. That's the whole crux of the issue. Are you going to do what God says? Or not.
I'm going to do what my heart says, and God can judge me at Judgment Day. If he doesn't like how I've become, then he will send me to hell.
Well, he certainly will if you live by your own heart and not by the Word of God. And so what you've agreed then is you don't really care about what the Bible has to say. You only care about what you want. Is that right?
You could say that, I guess.
Okay, well, then we don't have much to discuss then, do we?
I'm not going to sit there and be something that I'm not. I'm not going to sit there and say that I like an opposite sex when I like the same sex. I'm not going to sit there and be something and lie to myself because that's a sin right there. You're lying to yourself.
No, you're not. You're using a lack of self-discipline is what you're doing.
So you want me to sit there and go straight and lie to myself whenever I don't have true feelings for someone that I would never want to be with, that I wouldn't want to lay in bed and have a child with?
Well, you can't have a child with someone of the same sex, can you?
Actually, there are multiple ways to do that.
Say what?
There is multiple ways now to do that.
Multiple ways to have, well, but you're going to have a male involved.
Not necessarily. They have bone marrow that you can take and make it into another fetus.
That's not true. That is absolutely not true. But irregardless, what we're trying to do here, Samantha, what we're trying to do is tell you what the Word of God has to say. That is what we're trying to do here. If you want to reject the Word of God, you do so to your own peril. But we're going to tell you what the Word of God has to say. You may not like what the Word of God has to say.
I've been in church all of my life. I know what the Word of God says. I believe in God. I'm just not going to sit there and be someone I'm not. I'd go to church if I wasn't judged for who I am.
And that's what a lot of people need to start doing,
because everybody's different. It doesn't matter regardless of your background or anything else. You're going to be who you are once you figure out who you are.
That's not true.
Yes, you're going to use self-discipline and temperance.
You're going to use self-discipline.
God made you in His image to be who He wants you to be.
Yeah, He wants you to be like God, not like who you want to be like. Well, Samantha, we do appreciate your call. It's about time's about up. But we encourage you to really get back and do things God's way and not your own way. And that's our only hope in anything, isn't it, David?
Sure it is.
To do things God's way and not our own way. Again, I remind you of Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is the concluding thought of our program today, and that's do things God's way and not man's way. David, give us the last word.
Well, we want to sign off by saying what we've always said. You have heard now what men have had to say, and what we want you to hear is what God has to say. Read your Bibles, study your Word. God bless America and God bless our troops.